good man. And 14 other states are seriously considering it, that y'all are. So go ahead with them. Do what is right. Look to God. And you will have done the right thing. Thank you.
Based on this, Steve.
Would you mind passing that to the members, please?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve Leffeman from Lexington County. I'm the director of Columbia Christians for Life. There's one short, Mr. Smith. I'll be glad to provide you one later, or Mr. Delaney. I'd like to begin by speaking in regard to the federal laws and Supreme Court decisions and make two statements. Number one, federal laws are not always the supreme law of the land. And number two, Supreme Court decisions are never the supreme law of the land. I refer to the handout I just gave you, Article 6, which is from Clause 2. I'll read the first part of that. And I'll echo what's been said before. The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. The Constitution itself, the written document, the written covenant for the country, says there are three things that are the supreme law of the land. The Constitution itself, the written Constitution. Federal laws made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties. To quote an online source that covered the topic of the Supremacy Clause, quote, the Supremacy Clause only applies if Congress is acting in pursuit of its constitutionally authorized powers. Federal laws are valid and are supreme so long as those laws were adopted in pursuance of, that is, consistent with, the Constitution. I don't see anywhere in Article 1, Section 8, where the federal government, the House can pass, the Senate can pass, and the President can sign a federal law requiring an individual mandate that has a penalty to it, forcing Americans to buy insurance. I believe Marbury versus Madison, the 1803 Supreme Court decision, has been cited before by one or more previous speakers. One of the quotes from that decision is, all laws which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. Obamacare was effective March 23rd, 2010. I would assert that it was null and void on March 23rd, 2010. Another issue that's been raised is the issue of the oath, and I appreciate that members take the oath seriously to support and defend the Constitution of the U.S., the U.S. Constitution, as well as the state constitution. Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution says, to continue the remainder of that clause, Clause 2 from Article 6, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. I would assert that for a member to uphold his oath of office, to uphold the U.S. Constitution, that he would not recognize Obamacare as the law of the land. Because the Constitution says that the second thing that makes up the law of the land are laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof. Obamacare is not made in pursuance of the U.S. Constitution in Article 1, Section 8. It is not within the enumerated delegated powers of Congress to pass such a law. So my exhortation to you all would be to uphold your oath, yes, and do not recognize Obamacare as the law of the land, because it is not in the Constitution. And the second point about Supreme Court decisions, this certainly runs contrary to what law students have been taught for the last century, including over at USC since the early 1900s. If you look on the wall of the lobby in the USC Law School, at one time in this in that school in 1876 or thereabouts, Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England formed the basis for the curriculum. And Blackstone affirmed that God's law, God's revealed law and natural law, rightly formed the basis for man's law. In the early 1900s, the curriculum at USC Law School was changed. And it was changed to the case law system. That's on the wall of the lobby at the USC Law Center, if you'd ever like to go see. It's a very interesting accounting of the history of the law school. But again, going back to Article 6, just a plain reading. I'm not an attorney. But just a plain reading of Article 6 says there's three things. The Constitution, the laws of the United States made in pursuance of, and treaties that are the supreme law of the land. Noticeably absent, as it says on the handout, noticeably absent from this list in Article 6 of what the U.S. Constitution itself says is, quote, the supreme law of the land are U.S. Supreme Court decisions. They are not the supreme law of the land. Now, obviously, there was a challenge to Obamacare. The Supreme Court granted cert, heard oral arguments, and there's a decision rendered on June 28, 2012, ostensibly saying Obamacare was legal. And many have questioned what happened with Chief Justice John Roberts. All that topic notwithstanding, that decision is not the supreme law of the land. It is binding on the parties of the case as to the particulars of the case, including the facts, the parties, and the law. But there's nowhere, it's not in Article 6 of the Constitution itself to say that the Supreme Court decisions are the law of the land. And one speaker has already referenced a quote from Thomas Jefferson, so I'll pass on that one. But Andrew Jackson said in his veto message to the rechartering of the Bank of the United States on July 10, 1832, quote, he said, it is maintained by the advocates of the bank that its constitutionality and all its features ought to be considered as settled by precedent and by the decision of the Supreme Court. To this conclusion, I cannot assent. This is President Andrew Jackson. And he went on, and then to pick it up again, he said, the Congress, the executive, and the court must each for itself be guided by its own opinion of the Constitution. Each public officer, and I would say this applies not only to the three co-equal branches of the federal government. This also applies to every man, every officer that takes an oath of office in the country to uphold the Constitution. When Jackson says, each public officer who takes an oath to support the Constitution swears that he will support it as he understands it and not as it is understood by others. It is as much the duty of the House of Representatives, of the Senate, and of the President to decide upon the constitutionality of any bill or resolution which may be presented to them for passage or approval, as it is of the Supreme Judges when it may be brought before them for judicial decision. The opinion of the judges has no more authority over Congress than the opinion of Congress has over the judges. And on that point, the President is independent of both. The authority of the Supreme Court must not, therefore, be permitted to control the Congress or the executive when acting in their legislative capacities, but to have only such influence as the force of their reasoning may deserve. He's talking about the three co-equal branches of the federal government. In this discussion concerning nullification and concerning how we view whether the Obamacare Act effectively going into law on March 23rd, 2010 is constitutional or not, I would ask you to assert your right as men who have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution to make your determination. Is Obamacare within Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution? Is Obamacare constitutional? And if you, in your heart of hearts, and with your training, believe it is not, then I would say you have a duty to uphold your oath as you understand the nature of Obamacare to be, i.e. unconstitutional. I conclude with, I'd like to step back for a moment and look. This is one issue, and we are being we are coming under increasing tyranny in our land. And whether it's the gun control issue or Obamacare, or we've already killed 55 million children in the womb, or on and on and on, we've seen the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment under attack. I would say from a spiritual standpoint, and I perhaps even not all Christians would even share this view, but in my reading of Scripture, I would say this nation is under the judgment of God. Some people talk about the judgment of God as being some future calamitous event. I believe it's incremental, progressive, continual, and that God sends His signs, His messages, and His messengers of warning that we would turn back to Him. Now, I'm a pro-life missionary, and I direct a Christian pro-life, pro-chastity ministry. And I believe our greatest sin is our turning from the Lord Jesus Christ and His law. We rejected. God is the one who ordains civil government. He's the one who has ordained the family. Civil government gets its authority from God. But I believe our greatest moral crime under the second table of the Sixth Commandments is our shedding of innocent blood. And if you study the shedding of innocent blood in Scripture, that theme, that is something that can cause the destruction of nations. And I'll share one passage, and I will conclude with this. From Psalm 106, and it's talking about the children of Israel, the ancient nation of Israel committing child sacrifice, and how the Lord reacted to it. Beginning in verse 37, "Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood." It sounds like America. Thus were they defiled with their own words, and went a whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against His people, insomuch that He abhorred His own inheritance. And He, talking about the Lord, talking about God, and He gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did He deliver them, but they provoked Him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, He regarded their affliction when He heard their cry. I believe that God will hear our cry if we will cry to Him and turn from our wicked ways, that He might bring healing in our land. Thank you.
A lot of people signed up on this list who have not been to school. We require us to come back and convene another subcommittee here at the Hill. We got it.